welcome to the Bromwich Grove and Droitwich Standard podcast with me, Tristan Harris. Now, this week, I'm very pleased to have with me Andy Mason, who's the assistant manager, is it, of Bromwich Grove Sporting?
Yeah, that's right.
Assistant manager. And what a season, what a week. I mean, we're sitting here on Wednesday. You've had two matches that have gone to extra time, and you've come through both of them, and you're going up.
Yeah, I mean, it's been the craziest week in my footballing life, and I'm sure for a lot of other people, we've gone through every emotion possible. I mean, it's just surreal. It still hasn't sunk in yet that we've actually done it, because we didn't allow ourselves to be complacent and think that we were going to go up, because obviously fine margins make a big difference in games. So, yeah, so unbelievable.
So, I mean, in a lot of the leagues, it's two people go up, or two teams go up, and then you have the next four, don't you? But on this one, it was the top one, and Bromwich Grove Sporting finished second, and by quite a margin, it has to be said. So you must have felt like, you know, when it started to, you know, automatic promotion started to slip away. What were your thoughts then? Because you'd been neck and neck, hadn't you, all season with Peterborough?
Yeah, absolutely. It was tough, really, but we... Do you know what? We still believed we could have done it right to the death. And we took them right to the wire. I think it ended up 7 points, was it, that they beat us by. And I think between us and Corby, there was 10 points. And then between us and, you know, sixth place was something like 30 points. So we thought we thoroughly deserved to go up. And the top two should have gone up. And, you know, we've had other managers come to us saying, you know, it's the fairest thing, you know, you were the best team that we played all season. So yeah, absolutely. I mean, we never gave up until it was mathematically impossible to do.
Now, it was a sizable gap, because 10 points is 10 points, that's like three wins and a draw, yeah, isn't it? So I mean, it is like having another few games on top. I mean, So were you okay motivating yourself for the playoff once you'd got there?
Yeah, I mean, once we knew it was mathematically impossible to win it, then the next focus was to make sure that we finish second and obviously get those home advantages.
Because so, that's quite something, isn't it? Really, when you actually have In normal circumstances, you'd play the final at a neutral ground, but you finishing second did give you the advantage of having the home ties in the semis and the final.
It was a massive advantage to us, because we went this season unbeaten at our home ground. So for us, mentally, it was a massive boost for us. And I think ultimately that's what won us, because obviously we had a bad time of it when we went over to Corby. That was a terrible week for us due to Brendan losing his father. I was in charge of the game Bedford Town, it was. Yeah. And I think we lost that 5-1. We should have been 5-0 up at half time. We missed chance after chance after chance. And then we kind of folded in the second half. So that was a tough one to take. And it was a tough week, because we went to them, who were one of the big spenders and one of the favourites, on the Saturday. And then on the Tuesday, we went to Corby Town and they beat us 6-0 there. So it was a tough time. And we were top of the league at that time. And I remember coming off the pitch and the Corby fans giving us some abuse, you know, saying that top of the league, you're having a laugh and all the rest of it. So it was nice to then play them in the league, obviously, not so long ago, and beat them at our place, because I think it put a few ghosts to bed.
Yeah, I suppose it can give you like a psychological hangover, can't it, if you've lost 6-0?
Yeah, because they'd beaten us early on in the season in the cup game. You know, they'd beat us and managed the game really well. I think they beat us 3-2 in that one. So psychologically, it was a massive boost to beat them at our place. And by that time, anyway, we had a totally different look team. You know, defensively, we'd made some changes, so we were very confident.
Now, what I said last week and last week's podcast was, because you lost to Burke Hampstead, didn't you, 3-0 before the playoff semi.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm hoping it's like a driving lesson before you test. You know, if you mess up the driving lesson before you test, very often you pass because you've got all the errors out of the way and then you're obviously free to go forward. Is that, do you think that happened to a certain degree?
No, what we did is the chairman was good enough to allow us to use our full squad. So we rested players. And obviously we had a jiggle round in formations and stuff. And it just gave us an opportunity to get minutes into players that have been sitting on the bench waiting their turn. So in case we needed them for the playoffs, you know, it gets valuable minutes into them. So it was a different look team that we took there. And to be honest with you, the playing conditions were atrocious. I mean, it was like playing on Breen sands. It was something like Western Supermare Beach, the amount of sand on the pitch, and it was dreadful. And on top of that, we didn't get the rub of the green off the officials that day. So, you know, it was one of those ones. We missed chances to win the game, and it was just one of them. But it was always a game where we wanted to get minutes into players. It was about getting minutes into players, not the performance and not the result, really, because we'd already secured second place then. And if you look at some of the other results for Corby, they did exactly the same, because I think they got beaten that week as well. So it was more tactical, really.
So if you're ever fighting a relegation battle, you want the teams who are getting ready for the playoffs on the last day to save yourself. And then hard going last Wednesday. I had my anniversary and I was at my meal and I was sneakily looking at my phone.
Congratulations,
to check the score.
By the
Thank
way.
You, yeah, 15 years. But I was checking the scores and I couldn't believe it when they got back into it after Sporting had gone into such a what looked like a comfortable lead.
Do you know what? One of the strangest games of football I've ever been involved in, because as we were stood there, the Sutton manager's good friends with Brendan, and him and his assistant were stood there laughing and joking because there was no pressure on them. You know, they were there purely for a payday, because obviously we had to pay them part of the gate, and they were there just to have fun. And players were just able to go out there and express themselves and have fun. They threw lots of bodies up top, and fair play to them. They came and gave us a hell of a game, because they never gave up. Let me tell you, very dangerous, the most dangerous scenario in football you could be in, when all the pressure's on you and not an ounce of pressure on the other side. It's unbelievable, honestly.
Because am I right in thinking they wouldn't have been able to go up if they had?
Absolutely, couldn't have gone up at all. So they had nothing to lose. It was a payday. Actually, we found out that if they'd have beat us, they had the cup final at Walsall.
Yeah.
Tuesday night, so it would have been the day after the final. So they played with nothing to lose, nothing to fear, no pressure at all. I mean, it was unbelievable. At set pieces and stuff, they'd leave two at the back and throw so many bodies up top, you know, and every set piece they'd have extra bodies in there because they had nothing to lose.
And obviously the fans played a big part in that night, because I'll tell you what's amazing about Bromsgrove, because you go on the Twitter, don't you, and it shows you like the step four as we are now, and it shows you the attendances, and Bromsgrove Sporting is always at the top, isn't it? Like, do you know what I mean? For fans.
We have the most fantastic fans in football. I can't, it's unbelievable. I mean, and I thank them after every game and I'm lost for words, because they are truly our 12th man. And at times, you can feel that shed end suck the ball into the back of the net. I mean, if you see some of the pictures from Jason Cowley's goals, I mean, that shed end was absolutely packed, as the ground. And our fans are just superb. And they've been superb home and away. I mean, the amount of messages we've had from other teams saying, absolute pleasure to play you. We've enjoyed both of our games. And in a way, they're our 12th man, because they're so, you know, they distract the other team. I mean, players at this level, who's going to play in front of,
aren't you 1,000, 2,000?
Yeah. and you can see them when they go onto the pitch. They're like rabbits in headlights, some of them. And because our lads now are so used to that support, I think it plays a massive advantage. And I think it was an advantage to us a little bit on Monday, if I'm honest with you, because Corby aren't used to that. I think they had 700 at their playoff or their semi-final. I mean, look at us, we had 1,800 there.
Yeah, 1,800. And then, obviously, you made it over the line, which was what you just wanted to win, don't you, with a situation like that. And then what did you do in between? Was it lots of resting? Was it light training? How did you approach it? Because obviously you knew you had a bigger game coming up.
Yeah, I mean, the secret to what we've done this season is to keep everything the same. So we haven't changed. It's like we beat Peterborough home and away. They only lost 3 games all season, and 2 of them was against us. And I remember going our preparation for the away game at Peterborough was we kept it completely the same. No pre-match meal, no special, doing anything special at all. We just kept it in a routine because it keeps, the lads a lot calmer. On the coach, I remember on the trip, we were exactly the same. We were singing our songs, we were chilling, joking, and we kept it as normal as possible. And we tried to do that with the Corby, but because of the amount it took out of our legs Wednesday night with having to go to extra time to win it, and the physical and mental tiredness, we decided to get the lads in on Saturday morning, and we went to the Hilton in Bromsgrove and used their leisure facilities. So we used the spa and the swimming pool, and we just got together as a group and just kind of chilled and relaxed. So that was our preparation, just to relax the bodies, ready for Monday.
And then when the game came, obviously it didn't start the best because you went 1-0 down, but you were back into it within 6 minutes.
We actually started the game well. For us, we were pleased with our start. We asked for a good start, and we did okay. But like any of those sort of games, it's very cloak and dagger.
Yeah.
Getting over the nerves, and I thought we were doing okay. And then obviously, Corby scored first. But at no time did our heads drop at all. And then obviously Jason made the chance for the equaliser for Rich with a bit of superb skill, down the right, and his cross was pinpoint perfect.
But it can be quite frustrating, can't it? If you've had a lot of the pressure and then they go down the other end and get one, it is quite frustrating, isn't it?
Yeah, but do you know what? We questioned the mentality of this team a couple of times, and they've stood up and responded, and we've got the mentality of we don't know when we're beaten. And like I said again, the 12th man is always there to keep us on our toes and to will us on. And they played such a part on Monday for Westy to get the winner, because his legs were completely gone. I don't know how the kid managed it. But
and it was about 3,000, was it, on Monday? 3,000 strong?
Yeah, just under.
So just after the break, penalty, Richard Gregory steps up. You must have been thinking, we're going to have the upper hand again.
Yeah. I mean, the important thing is, obviously, getting the goal just before half-time was massive.
Yeah.
Because it keeps us in the game. Second half, some words were said along, we need to respond, not the same as Wednesday, because we asked for a big performance on Wednesday second half and we never showed up. Hence, they got back into the game. And so we knew it was critical the first 10 or 15 minutes. And obviously to get that chance early on and then miss that, you do tend to think, what the hell, what's...
Is it going
to
be our day?
Is it going to be our day? Yeah, you do. You do start to think that.
And then, obviously, so you had the penalty miss. But then up pops Cowley, as he does, 59 and 61, 2 goals in quick succession. What you must have thought, we've got to hold on to this now.
Do you know what? It was an unbelievable 44 minutes, was it? Five minutes. And it's a bit of a blur because it happened out of nowhere. Didn't see it coming, but real game changer for us when Will Shorrock went on. Because we thought, Will's been brilliant for us before his injury. And then we've obviously nursed him back. We knew he didn't have 90 minutes in him, but this was a tactical thought from our side was, you know, we'd see the game out to a certain time and then introduce him because we knew their left back was weak. He was a real, you know, he was vulnerable. And we put Will on, and I think he turned him inside out so many times. I think he's retired him. But, yeah, I mean, he made such a difference. It gave us such a lift. And when Cowley scored them two goals, yeah, I thought, surely now. But then when they got one back.
Yeah, and then the pressure's back on yourselves.
Then they got one back again. 6 minutes to go, I think it was.
Yeah, 6 minutes to go. You must have been having deja vu.
Deja vu. And the thing that went through my mind was I didn't know if we had enough because we gave so much coming out in that second half to get 3-1 up. You know, the lads had just given everything and I just didn't know if we'd got enough left in the tank. So, yeah, it was a drain, a very draining time mentally.
And then the winner, which turned out to be the winner. Obviously, you didn't know that at the time.
Well, I remember sitting on the lads were sitting on the pitch, you know, for a couple of minutes before we started the extra time. And I remember Brendan saying a few words and he was emotionally drained and mentally. And he said, Andy, and I just remember saying to him, listen, no one gives you anything in this life for free. You want this now, you've got to take it. You've got to stand up and be counted. You know, we're proud of you. You need to give it one last push. And the rest is history.
I mean, your whole season is hinging on 15 minutes, isn't it?
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And that's why we never allowed ourselves to believe we could do it. We always thought we could do it, but the minute you start thinking you've done it, then it all goes wrong. So that's why it's taken so long to sink in, because I haven't allowed myself to think we're playing Redditch, we're playing Tamworth, we're playing Stourbridge, playing Halfchurch next season.
That's a lot of good local derbies.
So we just, you know, at no stage were we able to enjoy it. That's the problem, because the chairman was saying, listen, don't worry, whatever happens today, enjoy the occasion. You can't enjoy that.
No,
you can't
enjoy
finishing second and not getting anything.
No.
Could you imagine that?
No, yeah.
Could you imagine that?
But in a lot of playoffs, I think, traditionally, if you go back and look, it's the team that sneaks in sixth that often go up.
Absolutely.
Because they've got no pressure on them.
Look at Sutton, they could have done it.
Yeah, they could have done that and support the party.
No one can say that we had it easy, let me tell you.
But there's one more moment of drama we've got to mention, haven't we? Because Cowley goes through, he gets tripped, but he does the honourable thing and stays on his feet. He puts the ball in the net, so you think 4-2, we've less than God knows how long to go. You think, that's it, home and dry, and then the referee pulls it back for a penalty.
Yeah, unbelievable, isn't it? You don't write that, do you? I mean, you don't make this. I mean, if you were going to, at the beginning of the season, if you were going to write a book that everybody loved to read, you'd have everything, wouldn't you? Sending off.
Yeah.
So don't forget they had a man sent off as well.
Do you think that's why you pulled it back, or?
No, not really. I think we were too good for them anyway. I thought, overall, on the 90 minutes, we were the best side. At times, we battered them. That spell when we went 3-1 up, unplayable. Jason, unplayable. Our movement, Shorrock, unplayable. If you get a chance to see the highlights, have a look. Yeah. I mean, there's one pass for our second one where Shorrock's put the ball across. You see that at league football clubs because Westy's stretched, knocked it back in, And Jason's finished. I mean, it's unbelievable football. The one ball that Shorrock's put in as well, where he's just run across his man and put it, you know, the keeper's moved as the ball's hit the net. It was so good. And I think their manager made a few comments by saying that he was the difference on the day.
Yeah.
Because that sort of movement and ability is normally seen in leagues, three or four leagues above.
And Cowley deserved a hat-trick, didn't he, really, on the last day?
The kid's been fantastic for us and on it. And it was a great penalty. What a save, by the way. Yeah. What a save by their goalkeeper. Then you question, is it going to be our day? You know, but honestly, I mean, if we'd have won that game 6-3, you know, it would have been a fair result, wouldn't it? But it's just unbelievable.
And tell me about the roar at the final whistle.
Oh, well, do you know what? I'll tell you my experience at the final whistle. So I just remember Westy cutting inside and it seemed like the Corby defence just opened up like the Red Sea, and he's hit it from 20 yards and it's got gone bottom corner, and I couldn't believe it. I think if you have a look on Facebook on Shed End, there's a picture of me just turning to the crowd. I mean, I just don't know what's going through my mind. And then the rest is a blur because we obviously tried to play the time down then.
Yeah.
But when that whistle went, I think he was blowing at a time when the ball had just gone out of play.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if he was giving a free kick on that. But when you realise the end of the game, me and Brendan just turned to each other and it hugged me that tight. I thought I was going to pass out. And I just remember looking up at the sky, just saying to him, "We've done it. We've done it." And then when I looked again, there was just a massive crowd on the pitch. It was just surreal. The noise was surreal.
And the sigh of relief, I suppose. One big combined sigh would have probably... just because they are with you, aren't they? All, every step of the way, and they kick every ball as you do, and everybody does. And it's like a team effort, isn't it, between the fans and the players?
Yeah, and I couldn't control my emotion. I just burst into tears. I just cried.
Yeah.
It was an emotion. I couldn't control it. It's just the strangest feeling. I couldn't control it. I went to my wife and I just hugged her and I sobbed my heart out. But yeah, I mean, the fans, I mean, those fans deserve every little bit. I mean, they're fantastic. They travel home and away. They pay their hard-earned money. And hopefully we've entertained them.
You give them a few heart attacks along the way, but you've...
Yeah, we've given ourselves heart attacks. I mean, you know, the chairman got emotional. I mean, it's a massive for him.
Yeah.
He's been brilliant. He deserves it. Everybody at that football club deserves it, and it was just such a relief.
Now let's give a special mention. Obviously, you've got a fantastic team there, so obviously Cowley does get a lot of plaudits, rightly so, because he's an amazing talent. But you've got a brilliant group of lads there, haven't you?
They're unbelievable. But you know what? We set our stall out early doors, myself and Brendan, and we decided what style of football we'd play, and that was attacking, entertaining football. Playing with wide men. Some people may say it's old-fashioned now because they like this player sitting in front of the back four and a long ball. But now we want to entertain people. So we hand-pick players to come in. So every player that we have at that football club is the right personality, the right character and the right ability.
And you need that, don't you? You need the right... What's the old cliche? It's a... round holes and square pegs.
Yeah,
you need the players who can play the system, don't you? And obviously you can.
Absolutely.
Now Cowley, lead scorer in the league, and we'll have to mention Corby Town again because that goal, that Puskás goal, the one that's gone forward for the Puskás. What did you think when you saw that?
I nothing surprises me with Jason. So I learnt very early doors in training to be careful because I remember we were doing a routine and it was every player opposite each other but keeping the ball in the air with the heads, and then the final man to volley. And Jason said to me, "How much will you give me if I volley and top stanch?" And then we're talking halfway line, just inside. I went, I'll put 100 quid in the kitty. Not at a chance, because they were shocking. They couldn't even keep the headers up. Anyway, lo and behold... Everybody did it, came to Cowley. He's only pinged one top stanch. I mean, everybody went crazy. And that sums up the kid. He's absolute class. Didn't surprise me. He does it all the time.
And he's quite down to earth as well, we have to say.
Do you know what? He's the most down to earth lad. I mean, you know, he doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke. He loves his partner, he loves his family. He's a really good lad, and he deserves everything that he's going to get in football.
Well, no Englishman's won the Puskás Award, so if he did do that, would just about... I know it's a bit of a tall order, maybe, but it is things. And also, he stuck his neck out, didn't he, in one of the interviews, because he said, "I'm going to make sure we go up," and he said that in one of the interviews.
Yeah, and make sure, you know, he did make twice.
Because that was going through my head on Monday. I was thinking, oh, I just kept harping back to that, as you do, because you do get like little flashbacks, don't you?
Yeah.
And but he was right, and he'll be. All right for next season, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's the problem. The danger is your players get, you know, they might get cherry picked. But he's been very loyal, hasn't he?
He's very loyal.
He's
one of the most loyalist people I've ever come across. And he's always said, hasn't he, he'd only leave Bromsgrove for a league club.
Mm.
So So watch his space. I don't know what's going to happen for him. And we'd love to keep him at Bromsgrove. But at the same time, you want these lads to go on and
fulfill their potential. Because it is a short career, isn't it, really?
Yeah, and do you know what? He deserves everything he's going to get. Yeah. And if he chooses to stay with Bromsgrove, then absolutely happy day, because he's the difference between getting promoted or being a mid-table team. You know, he's a game changer.
Well, everywhere people are looking for strikers who can score that amount of goals consistently, season in, season out. Now, some of the interviews I've remembered in football have been like Ian Wright and Jeff Horsfield, two greats, who, you know, they said they started off in non-league and then they went up to the next level and they said, oh, can I play at this level? Yes, I can. And then the next level? Yes, I can. Next level. And then they finally got to England. How far can this team go? Can they make the step up, or is there going to be many changes in the summer?
Do you know what? We've always got to look at improving and moving forward. That's football. You never stand still in football. If you stand still, you're going backwards. So we need to look to improve all the time. But yeah, absolutely. This group of players are more than capable of stepping up. You know, we've taken some as far as they've wanted to go. You know, we lost a couple of long-term players, you know, earlier on in the season. But we've replaced them with the right type of player, so we're always we're looking to improve when we have to. But this group can go as far as they want to go. I mean, obviously some players are more gifted than others naturally, but it all depends how badly they want it themselves, isn't it?
Yeah, you don't get anything, do you, unless you put the time in and the effort.
Absolutely.
And the training. And that's what we'll see. But the fans must be beside themselves. Because like you say, Stourbridge, who was it? Redditch, Alchurch, Tamworth. These teams who have been very often spoken about as at a higher level than Bromsgrove because of their like pasts and their histories. And now Bromsgrove Sporting, which in the grand scheme of things is quite a new club, is coming up now. And the chance to play them, beat them, and who knows, can you do the unthinkable and get a fourth promotion?
Well, we're certainly going to go for it. We're going for it. Yeah. We've already had the meeting. Now, that's in our blood. Brendan's said that straight away. Same as me. You know, Brendan wants to go. You don't compete to come seventh or eighth or tenth. You compete to win it. And we're going to go for it. Yeah, absolutely.
How do the fans compare in the attendances next season? Will they be similar to what Bromsgrove are getting now, or will Bromsgrove still be near the top?
We're one league below Kidderminster Harriers, by the way.
Yeah, well, that's amazing. That puts it into perspective, doesn't it?
I think what we've done is we've worked very hard in making it a family club with the kids, with the Colts.
Hmm.
You know, we've now got teams right down throughout all the levels. And we've got a lot of teenagers and a lot of kids that come to our games. Monday after the game, we're inundated with kids waiting by the tunnel for kit, for boots. You know, they're the future, aren't they? And their parents, they say to their mum and dad, take me to the football. You know, I want to go and see it. They're absolutely, you know, they absolutely love it. And we've worked really hard at that side. So I think, you know, from Monday's result, I think you could put another couple of hundred on our home gates, because as much as it was hard for myself and Brendan and the club, the fans must have loved it.
Yeah.
I mean, for £9, if you're paying £9, you've been entertained.
Can't get anything for £9 these days.
You know, but you've been entertained. Yeah. So I do. I genuinely believe that we've got the potential of being the biggest club in the area. Absolutely. We've got the fan base for it.
Yeah.
And we're going for it.
That's good. So keep going there next season. At least you had, because you said it was harder for the fans. And I guess it is, really, because you've got the power to change it, haven't you? They're just going to sit there going, I hope they make the right decisions.
Yeah.
And so when does your pre-season start? Is that like July? I know I shouldn't be speaking about pre-season, because you said it's all a blur and you haven't really come to terms with it yet. But
right. So we met together yesterday, myself, Brendan and the chairman, for meeting breakfast. Just for it to sink in, and obviously we had a little bit of a discussion. We haven't set a date yet for pre-season, but we've got the privilege of being able to use Barnsley Hall, where the Colts have that, and it's like a league training ground. So it's private, it's our own area, it's a fantastic facility. So we're very lucky. We used that this season, pre-season, and we're very, very lucky to be able to use that. And so that will be our pre-season base. We haven't got a definite date yet, so we're doing our presentation night this Friday.
So there'll be a few sore heads on Saturday morning.
Yeah, and then we've got a trip away abroad with all the players at the end of the month.
Oh, cool.
And then we'll talk about dates for coming back in. But I should imagine it'll be just before the end of June that we'll be back in.
Don't let any of them do any extreme sports or anything while you're away.
No, they won't be allowed on that. And obviously, in the next week or so, the hard work starts for Brendan and me, because obviously we'll be talking to players and looking at things.
Congratulations, and thanks ever so much for sparing some time to speak to us.
You're more than welcome.
We can't wait for next season. Now we got a summer first, obviously, and let you get your breath back. And
we're going to take a couple of weeks break on it, and then we'll be back at it. So not to worry, but thank you.
Cool. We look forward to it. Thank you. Now it's been a good week for Bromsgrove football in other terms as well, because last night Liverpool beat Barcelona by 4-0. And no, not many teams do that. It's one of the rare occurrences, especially Barcelona, a team of world-class players. And a young boy called Orlando, he actually got to walk the Liverpool team out last night as a mascot. So well done to him. And it does seem like he might have brought them some good luck. So maybe they should book him in again for the final. But you can read all about that on our website, bromsgrovestandard.co.uk, and also in this week's paper as well. The elections, we've got loads of election coverage this week to go from something really exciting, football, and something that, not so much exciting, but it was exciting on Friday during the counts. Bromsgrove District Council has remained Conservative with 17 Conservatives overall. 3 Liberal Democrat gains, Labour were down 2, Independents at 1, and the Withall Residents Association, they're down from 3-1. You can read all about that again on the website and this week's paper. And in Wychhaven as well, Wychhaven and Droitwich Town Council held, the Conservatives held both of those councils. In Droitwich, though, there was just 1 Labour and the rest Conservative, and now it's 2 Labour, 2 Lib Dems and 14 Conservatives. So we've got all the reaction in this week's paper if you're into your politics. And two special people to mention this week, because Blake Miller, he's a 4-year-old boy who, when he was born, his heart was effectively back to front. And he had some cardio problems. He had to have a transposition of the great arteries, arterial septal defect and a septal defect. He had open heart surgery at Birmingham Children's Hospital to repair 2 holes in his heart. That was back in 2014. And Birmingham Children's Hospital, I've been there myself with my 2 daughters. What an amazing hospital that is. Well, he, this weekend, is taking on a 3-kilometre Mud Kids run. He's only 4, and he's going to be taking that on to raise funds for the Birmingham Children's Hospital charity, which saved his life, effectively. And also Becky Ricketts from Droitwich, she's doing a 100-mile cycle race, the Birmingham Velo, which look out for your road closures as well, because there's going to be a lot of roads closed over on Sunday. She sadly lost her husband, Neil. He was diagnosed with cancer of the esophagus in September 2017, and sadly he lost his 3-month battle. He passed away in December 2017. She's got 3 children, and she's running her own business. And then she said she was quite fit when I interviewed her earlier, which is, I think that's an understatement really, because she said she took up Nordic walking in January last year and paddleboarding in September because she wanted some new pursuits as part of coming to terms with what had happened and, rebuilding. And then her friend, Jo Lewis, who's from Fernal Heath, she's a keen cyclist. She's taken on the Birmingham Velo, but had nobody to do it with her. So up pops Becky and says, yes, I'll do it with you. She hadn't got on a bike until January. She got herself a bike and she's been training hard. And on April the 13th, she managed to do 82 miles on a bike. And Sunday, which is the Birmingham Velo, it's 100 miles. And this will only be her 12th ride, her 12th bike ride in total. And she's doing that. So good luck to Becky. She's raising funds for the Worcestershire Homeless Appeal, which collects food for homeless people across Worcestershire. When her husband Neil died, when they had the funeral, people gave donations to the Worcestershire Homeless Appeal. And it totaled £2,000. And the van that they use to serve hot food out of, is actually in his memory now. So that was really nice. That's some good has come from that. Now, this weekend, she's up to £800. If she raises £1,000, they've got a new chiller van to keep the food nice and cool that they get from the supermarkets each week. And if she gets to £1,000, that'll get that van on the road. So if you can, go onto our website and sponsor Becky. And we wish Becky with her 100-mile cycle race, and Blake Miller as well with his 3K Mud Kids Run. So that's all for the news this week. Now it's time for Claire with all the entertainment's news.
For all the things to do and see this week, it's Claire Bullivant with this week's What's On Guide.
Thanks, Tristan. Once again, we've got some fun things happening this week in town. My name is Claire Bullivant at the Bromsgrove and Droitwich Standards, and these are my top picks of things to do and see this week in the Bromsgrove and Droitwich areas. Starting off on Friday, the 10th of May, we have the Raising Steam Festival happening at Stoke Prior Sports and Social Club in aid of New Futures Nepal. This festival is running all weekend until Sunday and also features a steampunk market, workshops, authentic Nepalese cuisine, and you can also meet some Gurkhas. There will also be plenty of live music and entertainment. Accommodation is on site, so do bring your own tent, caravan, camper van, whatever you like to reside in overnight, or book in somewhere near Stoke Prior in Bromsgrove. Deliberately, this festival is kept small and intimate. There's no more than 499 people. It already has several confirmed great bands performing, including BB Black Dog, Montague Jack of Fromage, Venista Velo, Feline and Strange, Ichabod Steam, The Wattingers, Victor and the Bully, Chasing the Dark, loads of them to mention. All the information for tickets is on the Raising Steam Facebook page, facebook.com/Raising Steam. And I think the tickets are about £40 each for the whole weekend, plus a donation to the charity New Futures Nepal. It sounds like it's going to be a great weekend. Let's just hope it's nice and sunny for them. Also on Friday evening, we've got Court and Spark presenting the Joni Mitchell songbook at the Artrex. Joni Mitchell grew up with folk music in the 60s. She rallied against injustice in the 70s. She turned her autobiography into song in the 80s, and she reinvented herself in the 90s. Court and Spark will take you on this musical journey that will probably mirror your own journey through life. From Ladies of the Canyon, Clouds and For the Cool, cool evocative sounds of Hissing of Summer Lawns and Turbulent Indigo. 7:30 p.m. on Friday at the Artrex. Tickets are £16 or £13 for over 60s and students. And Friday is a busy old night at the Artrex, as we also have Advocate performing there. These are the Glasgow-based trio who love to explore the boundaries between traditional folk and world blues. Following their win at the DK Celtic Connections Festival, their diary has been full with gigs right up and down the country, including support for Ralph McTell. Do you remember Ralph McTell? He did the Streets of London song, which was a gorgeous song there. It's going to be a great show. Get your tickets from the Artrex for that. And it doesn't stop there. We've got some live music happening all over the place on Friday night. Demi Mariner will be performing at Number 3A in Aston Fields. Bev Pegg and his Good Time Jazz Gang, they'll be putting on a show at Hagley C of E. Contact Hagley C of E for tickets for that. And the fabulous Fred Zeppelin will be bringing the house down at the Licky End Club on Friday night. WeGotTickets.com is where you need to go for tickets there. It's event number 465053. The Catskill Working Men's Club have another great night planned on Friday, with the ABBA Girls performing there on the Friday night, and Fearless Scoundrel will be rocking out at the Hot Pole Inn on Friday night too. Anyone else notice how many great bands are performing nowadays at the Hot Pole Inn? The new management there are doing great things. They're doing a great job. Do check it out if you haven't been in a while. It's a great venue and becoming home to so much amazing music. Then moving on to Saturday, the 11th of May, there's an open garden for NGS happening at Oak Tree House in Bromsgrove on Saturday. B61OHS is the postcode for your sat-nav there. This is a delightful plants woman's cottage garden overflowing with plants, pots and interesting artefacts. It will be open for you to have a nose around between 5 p.m. and 9 p.m. Admission is £4.50. Children are free, and it's all for a great cause. There's also wine at this one, so definitely worth a visit on there. And sounds like a summer party, summer garden party, doesn't it? Telephone 0121 445 3595 if you want more details. Also on Saturday, it's the National Mills Weekend happening at Avoncroft Museum. The windmill will be in operation, weather permitting, wind permitting, throughout the weekend. So this is a Saturday and Sunday event. Plus, you'll also have the chance to climb up inside and see it working actually close up. The windmill actually originally was from Dansley Green in Warwickshire, and it hit the headlines, I don't know if you remember, in January 2012, when it was seriously damaged in all those high winds. Since then, it's been repaired and it's now back in fully operational order. And it's going to be amazing to see it working close up, firsthand. There'll also be demonstrations of traditional bread making in the historic toll house, which is furnished as it would have been in the 19th century. And there's also an original wood-fired oven and open-fire griddle used for cooking in Victorian times. It's really educational, so do take your kids as well. And if you haven't been to Avoncroft Museum for a while, for adults, you'll love it as well. Check it out again. It's home to 30 historic buildings and structures which have all been rescued and rebuilt, and it's set in 19 acres of grounds which include wildflower meadows, a traditional cider and Perry orchard, and there's also period gardens there. It's a delightful place and really educational too. So do go to avoncroft.org.uk for more details for opening times and admission fees, etc. Then on Saturday evening, we've got Jive Talking happening at the Artrix. This is the timeless repertoire of the Bee Gees brought to life on stage and taking the country by storm. The ensemble boasts stars from TV and London's West End and is fronted by real-life family members Darren, Gary and Jack Simmons, making for an unrivalled vocal harmony blend. Backed up by the stunning band and live string section, you'll be taken on an emotional journey from tender, orchestrated 60s classics such as Massachusetts and Words, to the 70s disco classics such as Night Fever, Staying Alive and Tragedy. An unforgettable evening that will have you both reaching for your handkerchiefs, apparently, and dancing in the aisles. It's very limited availability, so if you do want tickets, be quick. They're going fast. It's going to be a great night. But also, it's going to be a great night on Saturday night down at the Hot Pole Inn with Sounds of the 60s happening there. Then moving on to Sunday, the 12th of May, it's the Bloodwise Fun Run 10K and 5K happening at Bromsgrove Rugby Club in Finstall. This event actually started back in 1989 and has grown from strength to strength. Every year it seems to get bigger and better. Usually over 500 runners take part from all over the county and West Midlands, and it raises money for all different types of blood cancers. There's going to be stalls there, a barbecue, St John's Ambulance will be there, massage for the runners, children's entertainment and a bar. Last year's event raised over £21,000 for the research for all the blood cancers, so do try and get involved if you can. Register to run or go down and support on the day. The 10K starts at 11 a.m. and the 5K starts just after that, normally around 10 past 11, quarter past 11. Telephone number 01527 878 493 if you want more information. Then in the afternoon, it's that time of year again when we get the bandstand music in the park. That's Sanders Park, that is. Bring a deck chair or take a stroll around the park and then listen. You can listen to live music from 2:30 p.m. until 4:30 p.m. It's a lovely free event and it means summer is almost here. It's just around the corner. Hooray, we love it. Then moving on to Wednesday, the 15th of May. Just one event to mention here, and it's a quiz night happening at the Gardener's Arms in Droitwich. 8 p.m. start, and if you want more details on how many people you're allowed in your team, etc., etc., give them a call on 01905 77 2936. Then finally, just a couple of events to mention. Next Thursday, the 16th of May, the Manfreds will be performing at the Artrix. If you were around in the 60s, you'll know the group Manfred Mann. Their numerous hits were R&B based with an undercurrent of jazz, a very unusual but winning combination. They were very popular. And some 55 years on, their original frontman, Paul Jones, is now performing many of their hits in his band, this band, the Manfreds, including Do a diddy diddy dum diddy do do do. Do you remember that one? I wasn't even around in the 60s, but I know that one. It's going to be a great night. Check them out online, themanfreds.com, and get your tickets from the Artrix website. Also in the studio at the Artrix on Thursday the 16th, Aidan O'Rourke and Kit Downs will be performing their Scottish folk music. Aidan is a multiple BBC Folk Award winning fiddle player and founding member of Lau. He also interestingly spent a year writing 365 new tunes, one for every day. What a talent. And if you have a talent, get yourself down to the open mic night at the Gardeners Arms in Droitwich on Thursday the 16th. Gardeners-arms.com for information there, and you might just be discovered. And that concludes our roundup of events to see and do this week in town. If you have an event that you'd like included, please do get in touch with us. You can email your event details or give us a call, and we'll help you publicise it to all the readers of our paper, listeners of this podcast, and we'll also pop you on social media. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great week.